Hello, folks, and welcome to another week at Dan's Dabble and Babble. As always, so grateful to have you listening. If I sound different, I have decided that I'm going to try recording the podcast in my bonus room instead of the spare bedroom that I've been using. I don't know why I haven't been doing this. I have so much space here. I have an actual desk in here. So that's super exciting. Had a fantastic weekend this weekend. It was the Tampa Pride Parade. And, you know, for me, Pride events have been kind of hit or miss for me. The events often range from just kind of being a smaller festival with some vendors and some tents to kind of being a more full-scale thing. This weekend was the, as I said, Tampa Parade. So I went and had a phenomenal time. So the reason I lead with that on this episode is my guest this week is actually someone from my life the year that I was a college professor at a very Baptist university that would have fired me if they knew that I was gay. So I think just kind of the juxtaposition of those two things is really kind of remarkable, just to reflect on, you know, how different my life is now and how much better my life is now. I loved having this guest on to really reflect on that year of my life and kind of relive some of those memories with this guest. So hopefully it's enjoyable to you to kind of get more of a personal backstory, some more personal context for me, again, from the year that I was a college professor. It was a really nice parade, so it's really kind of funny. So there is the Gasparilla Parade, and then I think I spoke a couple weeks ago. We were out with some friends, and after dinner, we just kind of accidentally were in Ybor City for the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and then, of course, we very intentionally went to the Pride Parade this weekend, and so it's a lot of the same floats repurposed, which, I mean, is great, because the Gasparilla floats, for those of you that don't know, they're really pretty involved floats, pretty big floats that are in many cases very intricate, so I'm glad they're getting their use. Great weekend. I mean, absolutely perfect weather. And with that, I if anybody that's listening to this was there, I hope they had a wonderful time. I don't really know why Tampa's Pride was this weekend, because Pride Month is, of course, June. But hey, you know, I'll always take a weekend to be proud and have some fun, which it certainly was. Now, this intro is going to be more brief than normal, because this interview is longer than normal. It was really kind of an opportunity to catch up with this person. So I hope you guys enjoy the interview. As always, give me a follow on Twitter at BabblingDan or on Instagram at Daniel Burkett, and share the show, rate us 5 stars. And we have a quick word from one of our sponsors before the interview starts, and I will be back with you next week. Listeners of Dan's Dabble and Babble, have we got a treat for you this week. Most of the time, the guests that I interview, I don't have much association with, but that is not the case this week. And before I give any more introduction than that, the first thing you need to know is I decided to, since I'm comfortable with this person, I know this person, I decided I was going to have a glass of wine for this interview. And his question was, should I get a drink? And I said, absolutely. So he ran and got a White Claw. So that is where heads are at right now. But this is a person that I met in 2019. I was 27. He was 24. And I was his professor of physical chemistry and then his professor of organic chemistry at Judson University. So without any more introduction than that, we are joined by the wonderful, the inimitable, the Australian, Chris Kurzweil. Chris, I am so excited to catch up with you. How have you been?
Mate, that was an unbelievable introduction. I cannot thank you more than enough. But yeah, I have been on a journey, to say the least, since Judson, that's for sure. Just gone everywhere. I bet. It's been a long time since we chatted, for sure.
There's one specific memory that I want to get to now that we can talk about things openly. So what folks should know is that so I was a tenure track professor at Judson University, and Chris was a senior there, my first and only year there. How would you describe Judson University to those who are unfamiliar, which is almost everybody?
Judson is just, it's a different school. It is like, you have to essentially go there to experience kind of what we're talking about, how like relationships kind of work in that industry. Definitely like religious heavy. And when I'm talking religious heavy, I'm talking old school religious heavy. So
yes, it's a very strong Baptist institution. I'm sure I told you this, but in my interview, and I'm sure I've talked about this on the podcast too, but in my interview, they asked me about my faith journey, which was just a very strange environment to go from. Like, I went from a very research heavy grad school to one of the most important things for them to talk about in my interview was my relationship to religion, which was just a bit shocking. And I kind of knew that going in. And I also, and I think I had this conversation with your class, the PChem class, when I was there. So for context too, the PChem class had 4 students, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, 4 or 5. Yeah,
it was 4. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it was 4.
So there were 4 students. My biggest class was 18, but so 4 students, all seniors, maybe one junior in there, but so all about my age. So we got pretty comfortable with each other pretty quickly. But in my interview, I was so nervous accepting the job because as part of my interview, there was a group of students that I had to teach a lesson to. And I was like, if these are the students at Judson, this is going to be difficult, because it was just, they were just exactly what you would expect at a description like you gave of Judson, just very, very introverted, very socially awkward. And I would say that was probably about 30% of the student population at Judson. And almost everybody else was there because they wanted to go to Judson to continue playing their sport. That was basically the breakdown, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. You have essentially like all students that are there are either like they're heavy on religion or they're there to get a sports scholarship. That's really about it. And like, I would say there's 1,200 students total
not
at
even,
the school.
And
this
is
at college, not even that probably.
On campus undergrad when I was there was 700. 700 on campus undergrad. It's so the high school that I teach at now, we have 400 students in the high school, which is smaller and it's kind of average for independent schools, but yeah, think about that essentially being the college. I mean, everybody knows everybody. Everybody is very intimately involved with everybody. I mean, there's no way to be anonymous. And so what brought you to Judson, Chris?
I would say mainly my mum. She's more heavy on the religious side, but also both parents, because dad wanted me to go East Coast and essentially get away from having hot weather and go into cold weather. And yeah, that sucked. Yeah, it was not good.
But now you didn't start at Judson, did you? Am I remembering correctly? Or did you start, leave, and come back?
Yeah. So I had a tennis scholarship to go to Judson. And so, well, even prior to doing like any college at all, I started university in Australia, did a year there, but I was expected to go to the States earlier than I started in college. So when we start in Australia, we start our college in like January. Like that's the start of our calendar year and school year. It makes sense. We don't start like halfway through the year. So like I missed the first half of the semester and jumped into the second half of Australian university. And for some reason, the school that I went into called University of Queensland, they allowed me to go into second semester courses, and boy, was that rough.
Oh. I feel like that was kind of just your experience with education that was ending up in courses that were like, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah, well, it was stupid.
Well, because the other thing was because you took my Organic 2 class, but you had taken Organic 1 previously, and like nobody in their right mind would recommend that you would split years between Organic 1 and Organic 2. And because you took Organic 1 at Coastal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, I don't know. But now thinking about it, it makes sense, because when you transferred back to Judson, before I was there, I was a strong advocate that if I was going to stay there, that we were going to have to offer Organic every year. So I was like, there's no way, because when they hired me, they were like, Organic is every other year. And it would alternate. One year they would teach Organic, one year they would teach Analytical. And I was like, that does not make sense for anybody.
Yeah, no.
So and especially coming in as an organic chemist, I was like, no, like if you I have to have at least an organic class a year. And that was the other thing that was crazy, just thinking back at the interview and everything, which is like, of course, when you're interviewing, you'll kind of say whatever you need to get the job. But like,
yeah,
it's not
course.
That uncommon to like teach Gen Chem and organic chemistry. But the fact that they had me teaching physical chemistry as well, and then the following year, I was going to be teaching analytical and biochemistry. Like the chemistry department was me.
Oh.
I taught everything. Like you can major in chemistry and only take classes with Professor Burkett. It is absurd. I am not like I'm well versed enough in all of those that like, I mean, our PChem class was a real class, especially thermodynamics. Thermodynamics was fine. But the second semester, like I would go into lectures and just like hope you guys would not call me out on explaining the math. And I think all of you guys were just like copying down the notes and like not understanding what you were even copying down.
So
100%. But I was like, I understand exactly what I'm writing down, but if there's any questions as to why for the quantum part of this, I'm like, I can't. My classic phrase was, that's beyond the scope of this course. If one of you would ask a question.
I do remember that, honestly. Because I remember having to ask you multiple questions, because like you said, I was just looking at the board, just trying to get everything down in the notebook, trying to understand what's in front of me. And then I remember you always going, just out of the scope of this course. Don't worry about it. It's all good. All right. Sounds good.
Right. And then it turned into so there was, and I don't want to put their names out there, but you know who I'm talking about, is there was one student in the class who was like an exceptional student and would do what she needed to do to get through. And like, she was never going to be a problem. And then there was another student in there where I was just like, I don't want to have to fail you and prevent you from graduating. So just like turn crap in and show up. But honestly, like that was such a fun, it was one of the darkest years of my life for some of the obvious things that we can get into. But also like just some of those moments were so fun looking back, because it was just so ridiculous. And then the entire year you were like, let's go get a beer. Let's go get a beer.
Oh yeah, I know. Because you're like, no, we can't. I was like, yeah, we can. We're going to go get a beer.
Well, and if I knew that I wasn't going to be staying more than a year, I totally would have done it, because it was like, it was so weird because you were not that much younger than me. And yeah, no. Like we did get along really well. So I'm like, in any other circumstance, we would be friends, but like, I have to be your professor. And did you work? Did you work for me as a lab assistant?
No, I didn't work for you as a lab assistant.
Okay,
but I was going to.
Right.
You stayed, yeah.
Yes, because that was, I remember being so uncomfortable because you were talking about like doing an independent study with me and working with me. And I was like, yeah, totally. All of that's great. But like, I hadn't announced to anyone that I was leaving yet, but I knew that I was leaving because at that point, it wasn't even for why I actually left. At that point, it was the Navy. Do you remember that aspect?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually do. Yeah. You're like, no, I'm just going to go straight to Navy. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was like, I cannot stay here. I was like 10 years younger than all of the other professors, which is not like a lot of my friends now are 10, 15 years older than me. Like, that's not that big of a deal, but they made it a big deal. But then the whole elephant in the room in all of this obviously was, I think there were a lot of people on the faculty that suspected that I was gay, but no one could talk about that because if they acknowledged it, then they would have had to fire me.
Right. Yes, 100%. There's a lot of like controversy, and definitely one of the professors there, like you said, like had a bit of beef with that situation.
Are you talking about the physics professor?
Yeah, physics/math professor. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That guy. So I think there were two things going on there. As one, I think that he was threatened by me because like the students really liked me. Where like the department chair, when I like told him I was leaving, he's like, "This is like no one like the students love you." And I was like, "Yeah, but I can't tell you why I'm actually leaving because that would make things awkward right now." So one, I think he was threatened by that. And then two, it was just like, it wasn't even the gay thing. I think came later that he started to suspect that. Initially it was like, he didn't like that I was Catholic to begin with. So it was
just, really?
Yeah. I just got off on the wrong foot with that guy from day one. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know what you want me to do, I'm just gonna teach some chemistry. But no, it was so funny because like all the students knew, which that was one of the hardest things, and that's what I'm gonna get to in a second. But that was one of the hardest things for me, was because there were some students that came to me, and because they were like, okay, I can tell you, well, not even there were students that came to me and came out to me, which I was like, okay. So that was what I struggled with leaving, because I'm like, if I am not here for these students, who's going to be?
Yeah.
So that I really struggled with. But then even like your classmate that had a child, like he missed an organic exam. And I was like, this is weird, because like he wasn't the best student, but he also didn't just like not show up for exams. Mm-hmm. So he missed the exam and then emailed me later and was like, I'm so sorry. I haven't told anybody this, but I wasn't there because my girlfriend was having a baby. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you can't even tell your professors that you're having a kid because you're worried about not only being a 20-year-old father, but you're also worried about Judson kicking you out of college.
Right, exactly.
And I'm like, you don't even have to make up this exam. Like,
just don't even worry about it.
Well, figure it out. But to the point, so one, there was another student who I kept in contact with that on the first day of class had like a Snapchat video of me that he took that was like, yo, I think our chem professor is gay. So it was like literally from day one, everybody knew. But then you in the spring semester, so like you had a habit of coming to my office and getting help for chemistry, but then you would you would always stay and make me sweat a little bit. And there was the one day where you were like, I want to ask you something, but I don't know. And I was like, I knew exactly what you were talking about. And I'm just like, does it matter? And to your credit, you were like, no, it absolutely doesn't matter, but I just want to know. And I'm like, we both know what you're talking about. And all you need to know is that it does not matter.
Oh, no. I remember like sitting in the classroom and everyone was talking about you being gay. But here's the thing. Like, I was advocating for you to be straight. Like, I was like your supporter to be straight. Like, I didn't really care like which way you went, but like, because I remember like always coming to your office and asking questions, and you knew what you were doing, and you slipped in talking about like having a girlfriend and like the Navy thing, and like also like little right. Like, I felt like you're trying to leave like a trail, but like opposite direction.
Right.
And so like I would relay that information to like the class and advocate like these things, and they're like, no, like he's definitely gay. I was like, well, it could just be his personality, you know. And then I remember that singular day, I was like, nah, I have to find out. I need to know. I'm going like to ask you like straight to your face.
Well, and to your credit too, I think that you, because we talked about this later, like you genuinely didn't understand that like if word got out to the wrong people that I would have been fired. Like, it was in the faculty handbook that like,
right,
of the reasons that you could get dismissed, like at the top of the list, being gay was there. So I was like, cause I'm like, my students don't care. I was like, I know you didn't care. It was like, it was really uncomfortable because it was also, I had nobody like in Elgin, Illinois, I had nobody that I could just right. like, talk to. And so it was like, you were very good about like breaking down where it was like, okay, I feel like, but it was like, I can't, because if I say this, then my job is at risk. So,
yeah.
So
yeah, see, like you said, like I didn't even know like it came to that point until like you're like, hang on, let me just show you like the handbook that like I had to like sign. And I was like, oh, okay, I understand now.
Right, because after I announced my resignation, you and I did get drinks.
Yeah, yes, we did.
So it all worked out in the end. But yeah, God, it was just such a tense, just weird year. And I just want to know, like, from your perspective, and we talked about this a little bit, but like so you were there obviously to play tennis. And now I may be misremembering, but were you NAIA champion?
I wasn't NAIA champion. I made nationals and I got ranked 8th in the NAIA.
Okay. So yeah. Like, so big deal in the NAIA.
Yeah.
Like legit. Well, yeah. And it was like, and that was the other thing. It was like, you were like, you and I should play tennis sometime. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that because I have played very casually. I'm not going to just go get my ass picked for no reason.
No, we're going to play mixed doubles.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well,
or dubs, whatever.
Yeah. We'll do dubs, sometime. sometime soon. We'll put a pin in that for the moment.
Sure.
But yeah, so as a tennis player, and then going from just knowing your personality. So how old were you when you came to Judson the first time?
Like 19 or freshly 18. I reckon I was 19 coming into Judson. Yeah, I was.
So,
because, yeah.
So what type of, did you go to like a religious high school or anything?
Yeah. So growing up, I like each like primary school, which is elementary. And then like, we don't really have middle school. We just go like primary school and then we go straight into high school. But like both schools were religious, like Christianity. So.
Okay. So
it was just like a standard thing for me.
So was it a big culture shock? Because there's like, there's religious schools and then there's Judson. So, yeah. What was it like for you to end up at Judson the first time when you were 19?
Like just coming like over, it was the amount like that it was like in each section, just the amount of like religion that was in each course was just insane. Like, that was like the biggest probably like difference between it. And then like having chapel, like you have to reach a certain amount of credits.
I forgot that chapel was mandatory. I forgot that chapel was mandatory. Yeah. So you guys actually, part of your GPA was impacted by your chapel attendance.
Right.
Which I always thought was so obnoxious. Because like any grad school or anybody looking at your transcript is not going to care about your chapel attendance.
Yeah.
It was
just absurd.
And oh my gosh, the chapel sessions were just uncomfortable. It's like faculty were not required to go, but we were encouraged to go. So I would show up and it was just
what do you mean it was very cult? It was a cult. It is a cult.
Well, and the other thing is growing up Catholic, we have our hymns, we have our songs that we sing. But there's an entirely different collection of this worship music that everybody knew. And we would sing them at faculty meetings and they wouldn't like show the lyrics or anything, but everybody would just know the lyrics. And so I would just sit there so awkwardly.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
I'm telling you.
To sing it in faculty meetings.
In faculty meetings, we would always end in a song. And then do you remember that year, the one thing that ironically kept me sane was I was a psalmist at the church that I went to. And then the provost found that out and she was like, oh my God, you'll have to lead song at a faculty meeting. And I was like, for the love of God, no. I do not need to lead a song at faculty meeting. That is not going to happen. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I just got wild, wild freaking times. So I don't even really remember. So I was asking you your impressions on all of that. I forgot about chapel credit. That was insane. So chapel was 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 o'clock. That I remember because it was right after organic. And I would have students that would like ask if they could leave early to go to chapel because they were involved in chapel. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I can say no to this because whatever. But that was the other thing that you mentioned is how much religion was in your courses. Like I was supposed to be somehow finding ways to bring religion into my chemistry courses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't.
Yeah. Like, how is that even possible?
I'm giving a full lecture on organic chemistry. There's no way for me to... Like that stressed me out because that was part of my evaluation was how I did that. And I was just like, I don't know.
I reckon the only way to kind of maybe do it like is just like say a prayer at like the start and then that's it. Just move on.
And the student we were talking about earlier complained about me because I didn't have you guys pray before exams, but I was like, you need the full time for the exam. Like, here's the exam. If you want to pray, pray.
Yeah.
like, I don't know. But apparently, like, every other faculty member was leading you guys in prayer before exams. And I just, like, I didn't think to do that. That's not how I was raised.
Well, I can definitely tell you that's definitely not true. Only one professor, like the physics/math professor, did that. Every other professor wasn't heard of. It's just him.
Okay. So the other thing that was really weird about teaching about Judson is all of you guys were getting engaged so young. And so there was a male student in your organic class that was great guy. But in a lab once, someone asked me like something about engagements. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot imagine being engaged at 22. And then I like looked around the room and like half of them are engaged. I was like, oops, I mean, it's great. Like, it's great for you. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
But then like people would bring their fiancés, like the student that we were talking about would bring her fiance into class and be like, hey, Professor Burkett, this is my fiance. And I'm like, okay. Why is he in my organic class?
Yeah
like, oh my God.
But like why would you bring your fiance to a lecture?
Why is a fiance really like that. go read a book for an hour. Like, why are you going to sit in an organic lecture? It made no sense. It was so strange, so bizarre. That entire year of my life, I feel like I blacked out the entire time because I had to survive. Because the other thing is the first class I taught you in was Tuesdays from 6 to 9, like three hours straight of thermodynamics, which is just cruel to anybody. But I was so relieved because it was nice because it was like all seniors, no other faculty were around. So that was like the one class where I felt like I could just like breathe. For a while. But that was God, what a year. But so you played tennis, you went in and out of Judson. Why did you come back to Judson after going to Coastal Carolina? What brought you back?
Okay, well, here's the problem with Judson, right? So like we're talking about, like, you have chapel credits, which are a grade. Now, you go to any other school, this does not exist. So because that's on your transcript, you go to transfer to any other school, it doesn't count as anything. So, like, I'm short in credits.
Right. So, oh, my God. Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So, it's stupid. So, when I transferred to Coastal, like, I had short in credits and, like, I had to redshirt for a year. Mm. And so, I was making up classes, but at the same time, during the summer, they're like, we still need you to do some more classes. So, I was like, that's fine. I'm happy with that. So I'm doing classes throughout the summer. Halfway through the summer, I get a call saying, hey, some credits came through from University of Queensland. You're fine to play during August. Don't worry about the courses you're doing. You know, like, hearing that is just bliss because you're doing summer. You don't want to do any more work. So
right.
I just dropped all books. I was like, let's go. Let's go party. Let's have some fun. Come back in August. They're like, oh, where's those credits you're doing during the summer? I was like, what? What did you just say to me? What was this sentence that just came out of your mouth? What credits? You told me to stop doing them halfway through the summer. Like, oh, no, we actually need them. So I was just, I didn't know what to do. And so they told me that I had to redshirt for another year. And so that would have been playing my freshman year. Yeah, that would have been playing my freshman year at Judson and then my senior year at Coastal. And I was like, no, I'm not having it. So I dropped out. And then just went back to Australia, worked for a year, and then...
Oh, Judson, I didn't realize you went back to Australia in between that.
Yeah, I did, yeah. And just, like, worked and, like, made money and then spent a lot of money at the same time. I practically... As it like, goes. I worked. Yeah, yeah. I practically worked up all the money and then spent it all at the same time. It was great. But that was an intense year, for sure. And
okay.
Yeah, you go.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, so you ended up back at Judson. You graduated with a degree in chemistry. Did you only have me for two classes or three?
I think, if you can.
PKM 1, PKM 2, and OKM 2. Yeah. Three. Yeah. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you got your chemistry degree. You stayed an extra year for your business minor, right?
And math minor. Yeah, I got two minors out of it.
Oh, I didn't realize you got a math minor too.
Yeah, I somehow whipped that out.
Okay.
But it was weird. Like,
go ahead.
But it was weird. They sent me an email saying, yeah, you didn't really qualify for the math minor. Like, after I'd graduated, I was like, say what now? So I emailed the physics professor again. He overruled everything. He said, like, nah, it's all good. I was like, okay, cool.
That was the other crazy thing that happened at Judson all the time was it's like, there, here's all of these requirements. But just as a professor that had been there for 2 months, I could be like, never mind, that's waived.
Right. Yeah. They're all like, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's obnoxious. I don't understand how that place is functioning. But okay. So you got your math minor, you got your business minor. So what has life been like since Judson?
Well, like, I graduated and then because I'm on what's called an OPT visa. So I'm allowed to work in the US for a year. But like between the time I graduate and I get a job, I'm allowed 90 days to do whatever. Mm. So I definitely used up all that 90 days not looking for a job. And then I essentially went into medical sales for a little bit. So that was interesting. And like, I liked the people, but I didn't realize how many calls I had to make a day. And that was a tough point. So like I'd make 75.
What type of, was it like pharmaceutical sales or medical device sales? What type of sales?
Medical device sales.
Okay.
Yeah. Medical device sales. Yeah. So I had to make 75 calls a day and trying to hit that number and trying to like essentially close people on products I don't really know off the back of my hand is like super tough. And they call it like the gatekeeper, because like you just call a number and essentially you just get the receptionist and you're like, oh, can I speak to like the sales manager or whatever. And usually the person's just like, oh, they're busy right now, or I can give you an email or like a callback number. And then you call that and then you hit voicemail. And it's just like, it's so repetitive cycle, and you keep on top of it. So that was a bit annoying. And then some issues with my ex like turned up, like she didn't like that job at all. She hated it. So,
okay. So that answered the other question that I was going to ask, because when we were last, the last time we saw each other and the last I knew you were you had just started dating someone that seemed like it was pretty serious. So I take it that is no longer.
Yep. It feels so good.
Sorry. Oh, well, okay. Good. Happy for you.
Oh yeah, you should be.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, you little ripper.
So that was the other thing. Chris would teach me Australian slang. That was part of our arrangement, is I would teach him chemistry. He would teach me Australian.
Yeah. Oh, you need to be in like what I'm doing right now. Like I've got you sorted.
Oh my God. Oh, all sorted. No. So my boyfriend and I now watch, I'm going to say so much Australian TV. It's not really that much. We watch Australian Survivor and this Australian cooking show, My Kitchen Rules.
My Kitchen Rules. Yeah.
Oh my God. So we're big into the Australians in our lives.
That's awesome. That's so good. Like what I do now, like I'm teaching now, obviously, like we've chatted about that. But every day at the start of my class, I do an Australian word.
That's hilarious.
And it's great. The kids absolutely go nuts for it, but it's great because like they're so like innocent, and like some of the words I put up on there, like I had dipstick on there the other day. Like on the whiteboard, and it just means like idiot, or like I had like galah as well, which also means idiot. And they'll just be like going around the room, like saying like you're such a dipstick, or like you're a bloody galah. And like, I love it, but like it's super innocent and it's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what are you teaching? What level? And where are you grade. Now?
Like location or like the school?
Location. So you're teaching sixth grade science, I assume.
Sixth grade science, yeah. And I'm in Fort Myers.
Wait, Fort Myers, Florida?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, that's why when you like, were like talking to me, I was like, fuck yeah, that's like perfect, you know?
Why? That is not that far from here. Why have we not met up?
I don't fucking know. I thought you were on the other side. I honestly you were like...
Well, now that we know that, I'm starting a new job at my school, but that job doesn't start until July. So in June, presumably you'll be on summer. Let's figure that out. I thought you were still in Illinois.
No. Well, because my ex moved down here and I followed her down here. And so... my medical sales was in Naples, which is like a little bit more down in like the bougie part. And so, but yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
No, you have to come up here for a weekend or something. Or yeah, no, we'll we'll figure this out. I had no idea.
Yeah, for sure. I thought you knew. You knew that I was in Florida. No. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. Okay. Well, that's awesome. And so, okay. So, the guy that I'm dating, my boyfriend that I've been dating for a year, was like,
it's been a year. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. I'm pretty happy. But he was a huge tennis player in high school. So like we play pickleball all the time. We should like get together and play tennis or something.
Oh, we have to play pickleball and tennis, my God. All of it.
Yes, all of course. It. Are you? I my mind is blown. Oh my God. That's well, okay. It's so funny too. So normally I don't like do these things with video on because it's just like a random person. It doesn't matter. And I don't post the video, but I was like, since I know you, like we can talk face to face. And I was like, you look a little sweaty, but I'm like, it should be cold up in Chicago. I had no idea. How long? So you've been down here for like a year?
Yeah, I've been here since like the, like after I graduated, she moved and then I just followed along.
Which you graduated the year after I left, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because okay, I stayed that extra year. The COVID year. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's insane. Okay. Well, good to know. Good to know. How do you like, how do you like Florida?
Oh, I love it. It's so much better than bloody Illinois.
Oh my God. Illinois is it sucks. Not God. It's so the Midwest is, there's a reason for the Midwest. There are places in the Midwest that are charming and great, but God, moving to Florida has like obviously changed my life, but changed my life in so many ways. I'm telling you, like you would absolutely, so you would probably like Tampa more than St. Pete, but this area is totally your vibe. I don't really know that much about Fort Myers, but it's God, such a, I love Florida. I love living here. Talk about it all the time.
Yeah. Florida is fucking fantastic. But like, yeah, I think like you said, like I've heard a bit about like St. Pete, and like, it's, like, correct me if I'm wrong, is that kind of like on the older side? Not like super old.
No. So that is the is the misconception about St. Pete. So probably 10, 15 years ago, I think that was true. But it has been so St. Pete is very artsy and like very young, very kind of hipster. There's like there's a lot of areas of St. Pete that are it's young, it's hip, it's cool. But it's also very, very gay. So,
<That's fun.
laughs> so Tampa, I think there's just different vibes to Tampa where St. Pete is kind of more or less like there's the downtown area. That's like the bar area. That's like the party area. And then there's the other area that's still kind of the party area, but it's kind of, it's all kind of one flavor, if you know what I mean. Whereas like Tampa, there's more distinct neighborhoods, I feel like. So there's just a bigger variety of what to do. Gotcha. So my boyfriend lives in Tampa. So I'm over in Tampa all the time. So no, Tampa's great. St. Pete is great. I think you would like them both. But
for sure. Yeah. I'm telling you, like Fort Myers, just like there's nothing really here, honestly. Like you go to the beach, it's like, it's whatever. And then like, there's really like disc golf, or like if you love golf, then you're good. Or like tennis, then you're sorted. But like anything else, really, there's no like there's just like flat land, and it's just like kind of just like shops. It's not like there's like a city or anything, or like there's no real like bars to go to. There's not really much, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's the so I think the other day I think it was the New York Times reported that Tampa Metro, which includes St. Pete, I think, and what they were talking about was the third biggest area that people have moved to in the past 5 years. First was like Houston, then second was Miami, and third was this area. St. Pete used to be called God's waiting room, because it was it was basically a retirement community, but that is absolutely not the case anymore, because like I got nervous when I was reading about St. Pete, but then I like read enough about St. Pete that I was like, okay, it seems pretty cool. And then when I move here, it's like, yeah, this is great. Like it's 100% you're saying the X is an X. Is there a new current?
There is, I wouldn't say current, but there's just like a, you know, some fun there. That's for sure.
Love that for you.
That's well, there could be multiple funds. We'll see.
For my avid listeners, what do you want to leave them with? Where can they find you if they want more of you? Do you want to give your socials? You don't have to if you don't want to.
I don't care. Yeah, I mean, like my Insta handle is Chris Kurzweil. I don't know, like if you wanted to Snapchat me, I guess you can go Wabucky 13.
What's really up? It's Wabucky Snaps.
I'm so glad you remembered that. That's so great. Yeah. Wabucky Snaps if you want a bit of a laugh on Insta. But no, I'm really enjoying this. I could just keep going, eh?
Like yeah, I'm having me a too. Maybe we'll have you again. I just like I don't want to make this episode so long that nobody will listen to it. So,
of course not.
With that,
got to keep him interested.
Let's agree that you're going to be on again soon because there's so much more. I mean, we had so much reminiscing to do about Judson.
Yeah, dear we old just Judson. Dabbled in it.
Dear old Justin, we just dabbled in that. So we've got so much more to dabble in, which we'll have so much fun doing. So for my listeners, you know where to find me. You can find me on Twitter at Babbling Dan, on Instagram at Daniel Burkett. And please share the episode, rate us 5 stars and all of that. And just keep listening. We appreciate that so much. And with that, we will see you next week on Dabble in Babble.